We Americans enjoy a wonderful and powerful way of life, but internally and in relationships, we may wish for better. Join me as we look beneath the surface and gain insights to transform every aspect of your life. My name is Dr. Ann O'Hare, and this is The Spiritual American. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Spiritual American. My name is Dr. Ann O'Hare, and I'm your host. And today we're going to be talking about American lifestyle and spiritual lifestyle. And we have a special guest with us today, which I'll introduce in a moment. But before we get started, please consider like, sharing, and subscribing. This really helps us to get our message out to more and more people. And also, please feel free to share with your friends and family so that they can benefit as well. So we have a very special episode today. We have a good friend of mine, Karen Peruse. She is a spiritual life coach. She is also a Raja Yoga meditation student and teacher like myself. She's been practicing for over 25 years. She has a background in early childhood education. And one other interesting thing about Karen is that she's really taken this to the level where she actually lives in a Brahma Kumaris spiritual center as well. So welcome, Karen, to the program.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I was sharing with Karen earlier today that I'm coming up with titles for episodes, and I thought American into spiritual lifestyle, and I immediately thought of Karen. And this spiritual life coach, I wasn't even thinking about it that way, but she is the perfect person for this topic because of what she's doing for a living, but also her commitment to this spiritual process and also the background. So I'm going to start, it's going to be a little bit of an interview, Karen, today, and I'm going to start with a question because I know that you and I have a similar, even though we grew up in different states and so forth, but I know we grew up with a similar background. So I'd like to hear from you first. How would you describe your American upbringing? Like, what did you feel like growing up, and what was your perspective?
So I grew up during the 70s and 80s, like we both did, and a bit of a dysfunctional household, like most of us did. And I would say I have this joke that I grew up under the American mantra of drugs, sex, and rock and roll, because it was sold to us as the road to happiness. You know, you just adopt that lifestyle and you will be gloriously happy all the time. So much fun all the time. So I went down that road and there wasn't happiness there. So then I picked some other roads. I went down the career road. I went down the marriage and kids road and looking for all the happiness. Where's all the happiness at?
Interesting how it got marketed to us, like from every area of life, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, I don't know, as you're sharing, I'm thinking we had the baby boomer parents and, you know, they were still somewhat traditional values. So we had some of that coming through. We had the 80s, the money and the booming and everything like that, plus the advent of technology, like the beginning of technology and the bombardment of that, what you were saying, like drug, sex, and rock and roll thing. It was like a bombardment, and music was a big part of our life back then, like really immersed in that. And then of course we thought, well, I better get my act together and go have a family now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now I can stop doing that. Now I'm going to go have a family now. And then tell us like how that went and where are you at with that road?
So yeah, that road didn't exact. Here's how it works. When you grow up in a dysfunctional family, you get accustomed to those feelings. So then you find a partner who makes you feel those same feelings. So you're in that same dysfunction all over again. And so that ended in divorce.
And then you have children, right? You have children?
Yes. Yes. I have two children and three grandchildren.
Wonderful. Because later on, when we talk about the spiritual lifestyle, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that maybe the way we thought about spirituality, we can rethink it, perhaps. Because right? Like, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I went down all these roads looking for happiness. And now I live a very spiritual lifestyle and I'm having a blast. You know?
Like, who knew?
You're the funniest.
Who knew, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knew? It seemed like so stuffy and stale and limiting when we were growing up.
Yeah. And also there was still a lot of that old time religious dogma. There was this feeling of that traditionalism is somehow a trap. And that, you know, so it's funny how we had that thing, the women's movement, that thing. And then going into now, even though I'm trying to become independent, now I'm going to go have a family. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't work. So now where do I turn now?
Exactly.
So it's very interesting. So tell me how you found the spiritual path and like, what was the feeling that made you say, wow, this is something that really could work for me?
I think the way I found the path was through a friend, and it was at a time when I was like at the all-time low, you know, like the marriage didn't work out. The next relationship didn't work out, you know, things. And I just kind of felt like I had no more hope to find the happiness that I was looking for. And I think the biggest thing that attracted me was getting my self-respect back. And I feel that the spiritual journey, more than anything, is a journey back into our self-respect. And I don't think self-respect is a you have it or you don't. I feel like it's a journey you go deeper and deeper and deeper into.
Can you give an example of that? Like, because I think that's a really important point. And for those of you who have watched the episodes, self-respect comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's unique to our generation, but I know that our generation spent a lot of energy becoming successful and learning how to pull up our bootstraps and get things done and not really paying that much attention to my own feelings and so forth. So having self-respect become important and having it grow and come back was really life-changing for me. And it is a journey. Can you give an example of that for yourself and how it's getting better for you?
So, you know, prior to this path, it was based on everything outside. You know, if my marriage was working, then I could respect myself. If I was successful in my career, I could respect myself. If my kids were doing well, then I could respect myself, you know, and any of that. And you're like on all these different things, trying to balance them all and make them all force them to all go well so that you can respect yourself. And I think the biggest turning point was it's not dependent on any of those things, you know, that I respect myself for who I am. And the really funny thing is, well, interesting thing is that when you turn it around and start living the spiritual lifestyle, everything else falls into place. You know, the relationship with the kids got so much better. Career got better. Everything fell into place when I wasn't trying to force it all to work.
Isn't that wild? It's like a secret, right? It's a secret. I mean, you hear that all the time. Once you stop, then it gets better or whatever. But we didn't stop anything. We actually adopted something. So what is it that, can you talk a little bit about what the spiritual path is and a spiritual lifestyle is? And if somebody's hearing this for the first time, like, it's totally doable with your life as it is, right? So talk about that a little bit. Like, you didn't have to like go live on a mountaintop or leave your family or, you know, like there's this sense, I think, that spirituality feels out of reach. Mm-hmm. And I really want people to understand that it's really not.
Right. No, it's totally adaptable. Totally adaptable. But there were certain changes, you know, getting up earlier in the morning. So I'd had some meditation time before starting my day, having some spiritual study time before starting my day, because I felt like that really helped set things up. You know, I was planting the right seeds to carry out throughout the day. And then ending with a spiritual, with meditation, with some study, with some journaling, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm kind of sandwiched my day with spiritual practices. And then the rest of the day is I'm doing all the things that I'm doing.
One episode was called the daily routine, the spiritual daily routine, which if you guys watched it, you know exactly that's what Karen's talking about right now. So in the Brahma Kumaris, we have a very simple daily routine, and it's early morning meditation, study time. And then like what I talk about sometimes is like, give yourself a point to remember throughout the day. Like there's a few little other little details, but basically it's what Karen is saying right now. Then at the end of the day, end with some meditation, some reflection. And I like that idea of sandwiching the day. So tell me how that, now, first of all, I know that that's not easy at first to do, right? Like it's not, I mean, it is and it's not. So tell me a little bit about when you first started to try to in like bring these practices in like on a daily basis. How was it, you know, and how did you get through like maybe a difficult implementation period?
Yeah, well, I would say in the beginning, it was a bit of a romance period of like, oh, this is so great. And then, you know, after, you know, morning after morning, then it's like, you know, not so great. Do I really have to get up 5 more minutes, you know, all that. But as far as I, you know, how it affected the rest of my day was what really made the difference. Because when I wasn't getting up, when I was just, you know, playing into the voice inside my head that says, oh no, you don't have to get up early. When I really gave into that, it had an effect on the rest of my day and the mindset for the rest of the day. And so I feel like when you're in that good energy place, then you're attracting good energy towards you. And when you're letting your weaknesses win, you're kind of setting yourself up for everybody else's weaknesses to win with you as well.
You know, it's interesting as you're sharing too, I'm thinking about the effect that this practice has on life decisions. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself, starting this practice, I had a similar story to you. I was at the bottom. I'm, you know, emotionally, it seems like maybe that's when the time is right for this to happen.
It's but a catalyst for change for sure.
It definitely is. And I remember starting this practice actually allowed me to make some major life decisions and put my life on the right track, so to speak. Right meaning like more in alignment with my own heart and what I really feel versus like what you were describing, this kind of dysfunctional matchup, you know, that was happening, but I was able to make some really good changes. Can you like give an example of a couple of changes that you made, or how did you feel about, were you able to like make major decisions after starting this?
Yeah, well, I would say that being able to make changes, courageous decisions, you know, and not letting fear run my life anymore. That was a big one. That was a big one. And feeling that I could stand on my own 2 feet. I didn't need someone to take care of me. I didn't, you know, have to be liked by everyone. I didn't have to be the people pleaser, you know, all those things, and really stand in my own presence and be comfortable in my own skin.
I'm feeling it's touching to me. Usually I'm the one sharing it, but to hear it shared back, you know, mm-hmm. it's such a mirror for my experience as well. And it's such a sweet, like homecoming to feel that self-respect growing back, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. So we talked a little bit, when we talk about spiritual lifestyle, we're basically talking about the daily routine, right? Like making time for the daily routine and things like that. I do want to let you talk a little bit about God and your relationship with, because although I'm not really talking too much about it on this program, I think it is important to bring God in, because spirituality, you can, if you're really unsure about God and things, Raj Yoga can work without it. And I'm going to say God doesn't mind, because really the point is to get better. You know, the point is to get better and feel whole. So right. It doesn't matter, but I'd like to give a chance for you to share a little bit about how does God fit into this for you? And for those of you who are listening who love God already or have like a workable relationship with God, let's hear a little bit about that. Because I know for Karen especially, I mean, me too, but Karen especially, it's important to keep God in the mix. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Karen. Well, I would say it really revolves around God for me. Because I needed someone who had a higher vision of me. I needed a relationship with someone who really sees my potential. And the more time I spent in that presence of someone who had a very high vision of me, the more I was able to step into that vision and to just feel safe in that relationship as well. And so it was kind of two-sided. You know, I felt safe for who I was, but then also there's this high vision of what I could become with no pressure. You know, just this is how I see you. And the more I got to see myself in that vision, the more I was able to step into it.
That's really beautiful. And I have a tendency to break things down like an engineer. So I'm gonna say this, that what you just described will also work if you say my higher self. The main point is to feel safe. And for you, like you said, you felt safe and you had a higher vision. You felt like you could step into that higher vision. And I feel and I hope that everyone who's listening to this program, one of the main things that we have to feel is safe. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of that I don't understand myself. And that can be very scary, especially if you're starting to meditate. But to feel safe, like what Karen's describing about feeling safe with God or feeling safe with maybe... It could be, but you just have to feel safe. Right. I remember
I think there's one more important point, and that is that God is perfection.
Yes.
And we need that example in our life because we are surrounded with a worldview that anger is justified, revenge is okay, you know, all these worldviews that are very corrupted. And so we need this perfection, this pure presence in our life to set the example of what we can become.
And this is what you're describing now is the essence of Raj Yoga. Mm-hmm. Because Raj Yoga is the union of the soul, the individual soul, and the supreme soul. And sometimes I keep on saying higher self, but I'm saying that the higher self, I'm saying to those of you out there who have a lot of like trauma around God, and that's okay. I don't want you to feel like you can't try this, like if you have a lot, because I had one student actually who just didn't want to hear God. She just didn't want to hear it, but she heard the karma lesson and she completely transformed every aspect of her life just with that, because she felt empowered. Like she felt safe, she felt empowered, and she got involved with the classes. And she, so part of the other thing that we didn't mention yet is also about getting involved in the actual practice. Right? Like going to class and getting, so in the Brahma Kumaris, we offer all our classes are free. The description, the links are down in the description. So on one hand, this program is giving like a taste of an introduction to something, but it's also, there's a lot of support available. Mm-hmm. You want to say something about the Brahma Kumaris, Karen, since you're like living in a center. So tell us about what it's like, what the centers offer and how that helps us with the moving into a spiritual lifestyle.
So I think what the centers offer is a safe space to come and explore yourself, to have a connection with your higher self and the supreme soul with no pressure. Like we're just here to help. We're not, you know, pressuring you to give money. We have very strong principles about never asking for money. And yet somehow all the bills are paid, you know, that's God's magic. So we don't have to worry about it. But it is a safe space to come. And because we have this deep practice of seeing everyone as a spiritual being, as a brother soul, then we're not worried about all the other things. We're not, it's a very non-judgmental atmosphere.
Well said, very beautiful. And I would say that for myself, and I know for all of us that have been practicing this, that environment has really helped us grow and bloom and continue to grow and bloom. So Well, that information is in the description, and highly recommend checking it out if you'd like to go to a center and feel what that feels like and get in contact with others that are on this practice. Okay, so I think we just answered that, but the last question I have here is, what would you say to someone who really isn't religious and maybe believes in God, or maybe doesn't, or maybe has like believes in God, but is more like on a practical side, maybe doesn't go to church, maybe he's not practicing any religion, so to speak, but really feels like, you know, and maybe has been burned by other things. Like maybe, I don't want to point anything out, but maybe has tried other things and had not like self-help things, and they have not worked, or I've not been able to keep them up, like keep consistent. What would you say to someone like that? If they came to you and said, look, I'm really looking for this, but I've been burned and I don't know how I feel about religion and I don't know how I feel. So what would you advise that person as a first step?
Okay. So I would say, number one, your relationship with God is a safe relationship. You're not going to get burned there. So direct connection. Secondly, I would say there are a lot of doors, and keep knocking the doors till you find the one that's right for you, because community is important. You know, being around like-minded individuals is important. And if the other paths didn't work for you, don't give up. There are a lot of paths out there. And so there's got to be one that's right for you. But what I would avoid is, I've seen a lot of people who do what I call buffet style spirituality, which is, I'll take a little bit from this one and I'll take a little bit from this one, and I'm just going to make my own plate. And I feel, I mean, it's okay. It's better than nothing for sure, but I feel like those souls never really progress. Where I've seen souls on other spiritual paths who have really made a lot of progress, and it's because they stay committed to a single path.
So it's interesting. It's really about your own commitment then, isn't it? In a sense.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
like,
everything is a test paper. If something isn't working the way, you know, you want it to, or everything, you know, you have to go into it realizing none of us are perfect. And so whoever's there is probably not perfect. And so not even walk in with that expectation, but to see, you know, is this really what I believe? Can I be comfortable here? Or do I need to move on to find something else?
Very good. Yeah, I think there's so much out there right now. Even the way the internet is working now, there's so many different ideas and pathways. And I think that initial connection and feeling safe and committing to something, in a sense that I'm going to try. Like, I like the word try, because like, okay, I'm going to try. Like, regardless of, like you said, how much, you know, I got burned in the past, but I can maybe believe that God is not going to burn me. But do you agree that there has to be some kind of belief? There has to be some kind of like forward moving, like you said, God is looking at me higher or something. But do you agree that you almost have to give yourself permission to hope?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because the old stuff doesn't go away right away, does it?
No. And it's almost like a cabbage, like you peel back the outside layer and there's more layers and there's more layers and there's more layers. And yeah, like I said, none of us are perfect yet, but it's a journey.
It is. And one last thing I'll just share about the cabbage or the onion thing. I used to think of it like, and this shows my progress. In the past, I used to think of like, I'm trying to get somewhere, you know? But Karen said before, like, it's a journey of self-respect and self, I'm going to say self-discovery, self-respect. And it's not, it's like you're never not yourself, but it's almost like we discover ourselves newly. And each of those layers creates more and more understanding and like a concentration of my authentic self. It's not like, oh, it's something bad and I got to deal with the next bad thing and the next bad thing. Although it might seem that way at first, but when we start to learn not to judge, like there are like tips we get along the way, right? You want to say something about that? Like, how do we get through these like ouchy moments and dealing with things that maybe are uncomfortable?
I think this is a journey about self-love and just accepting, yeah, we're not perfect. of course there's things, but I have the one, the divine God, whatever term you're comfortable with. He's on my side. He wants to see me succeed, and he's there with me every step of the way. And every time I take one step of courage, he's going to take 1,000 steps to help me.
Wonderful. I love that. So let's leave it there. Thanks again, Karen, for being with us. How do people find you if they're looking for you as a spiritual life coach?
I am on Instagram and on Facebook under Spiritual Breakup Solutions.
Very good. I'll put that in the description below. And okay. I want to thank you so much, Karen, for joining us today. I like this this interview format is kind of nice. Also, we get to spend a little time together.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you so much.
Very good. So we're going to leave it there for today. And our slogan is heal, empower, and serve. And we didn't talk about service in our interview today, but I'll give Karen the last word. So how does all of this wrap into service? How does all of this self-work translate into service? Can you give us a soundbite for that?
When I progress the world, I make the world a better place.
Perfect. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time. Take care.